Are you a new real estate investor and you're still struggling to get your first deal because you don't have the funding for your deal? Or are you a wholesaler and you've wholesaled some deals, you got some assignment fees, but you want to stay in some of those deals for the big profits and you're missing out on the funding? Or are you a seasoned real estate investor and you just want more funding to do more deals at super cheap interest rates? Well, if you answered yes to any of those questions, don't go anywhere because I'm getting ready to plug you into the money. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Private Money Academy podcast. I'm Jay Connor, your host of the show, also known as the Private Money Authority. And here on the podcast, we talk all things real estate, of course, always having an emphasis on making sure you got the money for your deals. But one thing we always do is we have amazing guests and experts join me here on the show. Today is no exception. Have a good friend that I've known for many, many years that is actually going to give you a free gift that I'm not going to tell you about yet. But anyway, before I introduce my guest, I have a free gift for you as well for just being here on the show. And that is, I want to give you a free copy of my brand new book, Where to Get the Money Now, subtitle, How and Where to Get Money for Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Traditional or Hard Money Lenders. Now, the reason I want to give you this book is because I share in this book exactly how I got over $2 million in funding and I created the rules when I was cut off from the banks back in 2009. This shows you how to get private money from individuals, how to get plugged into it very, very quickly and not have to play by the bank's rules. This will set you free and get you all the money you need for your real estate deals. Just cover shipping and handling. You can get the book for free at www.jayconner.com/book, B-O-O-K. Again, you can get the book for free. Just cover shipping at www.jayconner.com/book, and we'll rush it right out to you. Well, my guest today is a good friend. I've known him for many, many years, and he's got an interesting background. He actually grew up in Moscow, Russia. And at the young age of 12, he and his family immigrated over here to the United States and landed in Richmond, Virginia, been there ever since. So he did try his hand on Wall Street when he started out his career, but that didn't turn out so well. So it didn't take him long to figure out that he was really interested in real estate. But before that, he figured out he was unemployable. So if you're unemployable, what are you going to do? Well, real estate investing is probably a good place to go. And that's what he did. And then he got really, really good at software development. And of course, he hasn't looked back since he did that. So my friend and guest business currently includes all kinds of real estate. And he's got a portfolio of rental properties. He does ground up residential construction. He's done development for multifamily projects, and he's also done developments for mixed use commercial properties as well. So he's got a very varied background, and he's also going to be giving you a great free gift that I'll let him tell you about. I know I've been using it for years and it's fantastic. Helps me in my rehab business. So with that, let's welcome to the show, Daniel Clayman. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited to have you.
Great introduction.
Well, good. Good, good, good. Well, you know, when you got a great guest, it's pretty easy to do a great introduction.
Well, thank you. I appreciate Daniel, that.
You and I have known each other for years and years and years. Let's start out by going all the way back to this side of Wall Street. What got you into real estate?
The stuff that I used to do in finance was very theoretical. Some people really thrive on it and they like it. You know, I work with bonds. I work with a lot of things that existed kind of on paper and in a computer. And I never got satisfaction out of it. You could not really. It never felt like I was contributing anything. And then I, with a buddy of mine, bought my first rental, and I bought it passively. This was back in 2006. I still had a full-time job, but I had some extra capital I wanted to invest. I was curious about real estate, and we bought this little rental in Richmond, and I came back to my hometown where this rental was for a week, and I got to witness him rehabbing that little house and, you know, just improving that one little property. It already felt more tangible to me and more impactful on community and on the block and on, you know, on the world. And a lot of the things I was doing on Wall Street, working with multi-billion dollar deals at one point. So I kind of caught the real estate bug that way. And honestly, probably like a lot of people, I also read Rich Dad Poor Dad, where he talked about how, you know, people that get truly wealthy get wealthy off of assets. They don't get wealthy by working a full-time job anywhere. So that also, you know, created an interest for me in building a portfolio of income producing assets that work for me, whether I go to work or not. So that's kind of how I got into it. You know,
awesome. When you started out, what were some of your early struggles and challenges?
You know, when I got started, deals, the challenges that we're having now, most people are having inventory problems now. I really got started full time in 2008, and deals, that was not a problem. Inventory was not a problem. There was deals to be had everywhere. So my challenges were revolved more around capital, which I know you talk and you solve for people all day long. That's what you do. But I mean, legitimately for me, I left my full-time job. I was now unemployed. I didn't have income that I could show to banks. And for me to buy real estate, especially if I wanted to scale and if I wanted to buy rentals, you know, capital was a big issue. And then as I solved that problem, and as we began scaling up a little bit, then it transitioned more into, you know, how do I find enough good contractors to keep my jobs on schedule? Now it's how do we deal with the rising construction costs and lack of contractors? But early on, it's the first issue was capital. Until I got established, getting people to fund my deals was without a network, without connections, without being able to go into a bank and get a loan. That was a big challenge for me.
So you started using and working with private lenders like I do, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I really did two things initially. I started working with private lenders, and to scale up my rental portfolio, to get long-term financing, I actually ended up also finding a credit partner that became a partner in a lot of my long-term hold deals. That was essentially just they went on the loans with me until I got to the point where I no longer needed a credit partner. So I did those two things initially.
Gotcha. So how would you say your operation is different, or primarily different, say, from your friends and competitors in real estate investing?
I these days I focus a lot more on new construction, and that's really a niche. Now, that certainly doesn't make me unique. There's plenty of other people that that do new construction, but my focus is almost exclusively on ground up development. I got tired of doing rehabs. I mean, most people that I know that I'm friendly with, you know, that are accumulating a rental portfolio, they're still acquiring properties. They're acquiring existing rentals. I stopped doing that. I got tired of rehabbing. I got tired of troubleshooting properties. So I'm almost exclusively now focused on ground up development.
I got you. And on ground up development, what are the benefits of that part of real estate investing versus what you were doing with the rehabbing?
So I like ground-up development because it's predictable and it allows me to start from scratch. Most of my, and I build houses to sell. I have a home building kind of single family arm of my company, but most of my focus is on building long-term assets. And when I am building from scratch, I can design the floor plans the right way. I can design the buildings the right way. I can make sure that they're built correctly the first time, you know, properly insulated, properly framed up, properly sheathed. All of that stuff makes a difference because we then hold those assets for a long time. And what I don't want is maintenance problems, and I don't want turnover. And the way we prevent maintenance problems is by building them really well. And we prevent turnover by building a really high quality asset that is easy to lease and people want to continue living there. So that's harder to do with rehabbing because you're stepping into an existing footprint, you're stepping into existing set of problems that you have to troubleshoot. I kind of got tired of that. I cut my teeth in this business for the first probably 7 years doing almost nothing but gut renovations. The entire housing stock where I operate is 100 plus years old, which on one hand is rewarding because I got to restore a lot of old historic rundown properties. And if I showed you some of these before and after pictures, it's a tremendous transformation. But it's also a pain. I mean, you walk in and you're walking into a building that almost always has existing framing problems, termite damage, mold, and it's quicker for me to just start over and build from scratch. It's legitimately faster for me than doing gut renovations.
Yeah, well, particularly on those old houses. But now, speaking of rehabbing, in my area, I still love rehabbing, and I've been using your rehab software for years. So how about let's go ahead and give everybody that free gift that you and I talked about before the show.
Sure. Well, so if you just go to rehabvaluator.com, rehabvaluator.com, there is a free version of the software that you can download, and it does, no, I'm sorry, you can't download. It's a cloud-based software, but it does deal analysis for you for wholesale deals, for rehab flips, for BRRRR deals, for ground-up development. It does full-scale deal analysis. You can model financing scenarios in there. You can model, multiple exit strategies. And there's a limited marketing capability within that software as well. And there is a premium version that kind of unlocks a lot of the fundraising features and project management features. But if you go to the website, there is a free version. It's fully functional. And if you're doing any kind of real estate deals, it's a fantastic analysis tool to have in your tool belt.
Yeah. And I want everybody to understand this software, even though it says Rehab Valuator, it just doesn't evaluate rehabs. It evaluates wholesale deals, all kinds of deals. So everybody, you're going to definitely want to pick up and check out at least the free version at rehabvaluator.com. So Daniel, you've been in this business quite a while now. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made in real estate and lesson learned from it?
I'm proud to say that I've only lost money on one deal in my whole career, which is,
that's pretty impressive.
It is. Well, yeah, I don't know if it's luck, but the one deal where I lost money on was a flip that I did that I completely dropped the ball on proper comparable sales analysis and valuation. And, if I look back on my investing career, there's really two things I regret. One is probably that deal. Two is just not buying enough. If I could go back in time, I wish I would have raised more capital and bought more real estate, because, over 5, 10, 15 year horizon, almost every deal I looked at 5, 6, 7 years ago right now would have been a winner. Things that I passed on, things that I walked away from. So as far as other mistakes, I don't know. I've been fairly focused. I think that the mistakes that I see a lot of people make in real estate, and like you, I mentor a good amount of people. The mistake that I see a lot of people make is simply just going after too many things at once. That's probably the biggest mistake I see people make. I mean, you know, if you're just starting out and you think you're going to be wholesaling, pick up a few rentals here and there, build up a rental portfolio, you know, focus on one thing. That's probably what I see most people do wrong, is go into too many different directions. Pick a niche, figure out, become good at it, then expand. So
yeah, that makes sense. What, you know, in this market right now, what is your biggest struggle right now in your business that you're having to deal with?
Probably keeping construction costs intact and predictable. We're having issues across the board in sourcing materials. Some materials I can't even lock in right now. Materials that we buy are taking a long time to arrive, and they're delaying our projects. We're also in the municipality here that is just terrible at permitting. I mean, it may be the worst anywhere. I think they make it a point to make life difficult for you. So permitting, what used to take 30 days for us now takes 6 months.
I was going to guess.
So, you know, being able to, you know, the development life cycle, if you're doing new construction, development life cycle is already long. I mean, it takes, I always joke, like, if you want to get rich quick, don't go into development, because in a good day, in a good environment, pre-COVID, it still took a long time between buying land, creating plans, getting permitted, building. But now that timeline has gotten, it's probably doubled between permitting, between getting your materials, and between actually getting construction done. So managing these timelines is a challenge, because I have construction loans and I'm paying interest on those loans. Those loans have a finite timeline before that money comes due. You know, that's probably the biggest challenge right now, is just keeping all of our costs and timelines in check. What's helped is that the prices, you know, inflation has been so high that things cost more, but our rents have grown tremendously. So on my existing portfolio, I've been able to raise rents a good amount. On new product that we're building, that we're bringing to market, by the time we bring it to market, even if we're delayed, I'm able to lease it for more than what my performance indicated, because the market is just higher. Same thing on stuff that we're building to sell. You know, all the single families I build, we typically sell to home buyers. And, you know, construction costs went up obviously a lot since COVID, but our resale prices have gone up more than our construction costs. We're making more money per house now. So then, you know, the unfortunate side effect of this inflation is a lot of it is being passed on to the consumer, whether they're a tenant or they're an owner occupant. So it's unfortunate for them. It's not as unfortunate for me.
I know exactly what you mean on the construction costs. We're doing a rehab right now, and the house has got, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 windows. We're needing to replace all the windows. And, you know, I hear all the buzz talk. Oh, it's taking, you know, months and months and months to get windows. And so our normal supplier that we get windows from, it's crazy. I mean, it's like they quoted over $11,000 just last week for these windows. We got another bid from another distributor, $7,000. And the one we just placed the order with today was $5,500. So mama said it pays to shop around, right?
Yeah, it certainly does. And it's probably more important than ever, because it's not just pricing, but supply. You know, it's one supplier may be a little bit more expensive, but can get it when you need it, while the cheap supplier may have the best price, but it's going to take them 3 months to get you the windows. So shopping around is more important than ever. I mean, things are just, even things are not going up, they're getting delayed. I just came back literally 20 minutes ago from an on-site meeting in, we're building a 20,000 square foot mixed use building with commercial spaces on the ground floor and 21 apartments. And we're using mini split HVAC systems, and they were supposed to arrive next week. Our HVAC contractor was supposed to be on site doing roughing. Now they're not getting here until February.
I was going to guess. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, what can you do about it other than you just, you know, you roll with it, you know?
No, I mean, it's sometimes there's really not much you can do. You can, you know, so we're looking at maybe substituting a different equipment that's going to be available earlier, but that's just the challenge right now. If you're in construction, you kind of got to be ready for all of those scenarios. And that's also where it pays to make sure that you're sourcing your deals at the right price, whether it's land or whether you're rehabbing. You know, the better you buy, the more errors and surprises you can tolerate on the rehab or construction side. So it's more important than ever. And we're in the market now where it's hard to buy right. But you have to be disciplined about what you pay for deals, because I'll tell you this much: in 12 years of rehabbing and doing new construction, I don't think, and most people won't admit to this, I don't think I've once hit my budget number exactly.
I got that.
I don't think it's happened once. We've always gone over on something. It just happens.
You have to account for Murphy, because I say Murphy lives in every project, lives in every rehab. Murphy, and sometimes Murphy's cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents show up as well.
Yeah, things happen. And so you build in contingencies and you make sure that you're buying right, because then you can afford to either, you know, making mistakes on the construction side, or oftentimes we'll have our own self-imposed change orders because we want to upgrade some finishes. We want to upgrade some materials. And if I'm buying the land correctly, or if I'm buying the property I'm going to rehab correctly, I can then afford to make some of those upgrades, build a better product, and still hit my numbers that work. But yeah, I mean, something always comes up. Even before COVID, things came up.
That's right. Well, I tell you, you mentioned in COVID, has this been a crazy market just in the past year and a half? I mean, who in the world would have guessed what prices have done in real estate just in the past year and a half? It's like, how in the world did that happen? So let's look in Daniel's crystal ball and let's see what Daniel's crystal ball says we can see is going to be happening in real estate and perhaps the economy in the next 6 months to a year.
I try not to look ahead and predict much. What I would say is I think inflation is real right now, and it's high, and it's on the tip of everybody's tongue, and it's on the forefront of every politician right now, and certainly the Fed. So I think tightening is already happening. I think Fed will raise rates sooner than we think in order to keep inflation contained. So my best prediction I can make is that you will see rates, and rates are already going up, right? That's not even, I don't even need to make a prediction. Rates are already higher. I mean, I'm repricing deals that we have in the pipeline by 50 to 75 basis points right now. So rates are already going up. And I think what you will see happen is more of that over the next 6 months. And that's going to slow the market down. It's going to slow the market down on the resell. It's going to slow the market down on, you know, how income producing assets are being traded, because if, you know, I'm not going to be willing to pay as much if I'm paying 4% interest instead of 3.25%. So I think things are going to slow down next year for sure in terms of buyer appetite. I don't think anything is going to crash. I don't even think there's going to be a massive displacement where we have all of a sudden amazing buying opportunities, because the inventory is so constrained. Buyers will still buy homes. Their affordability will simply get dampened. And so the price acceleration that we've been seeing, if we're talking about the retail market, is definitely going to slow down and maybe even flatten. That's my prediction. So I think things will slow down. Anybody that's telling you there's going to be a housing crash right now, I think is not correct.
Yeah, I agree with you. Daniel, you've got all kinds of experience over the years in real estate. What would you say is your superpower that has lended itself and you to being so successful?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have one. I think at the end of the day, I'm just disciplined. I wake up and I go to work every day. I mean, I don't really take days off. So I am consistent. Anything that we do and anything that I have and any kind of success that I, have been able to achieve, a lot of it is just a product of disciplined, repeated action. And, especially in development, it takes so much work and effort, and you have to keep pushing the rock, up the hill to a degree. You're coordinating all of these people, plans, getting through permits, getting bids. If you stop pushing that rock up the hill, nobody else is going to pick it up for you. So on the development side, I as the developer have to wake up every day and continue being aggressive and push the agenda, because as soon as I stop, everybody else around me slows down too. So, I wake up, I go to work every day. I love what I do. Same thing on the software side, where that started off as kind of I really just built it for myself, and it turned into a business with, we serve tens of thousands of people right now, and we're very consistent in how we provide support, how we put out product upgrades, how we put out content, education. And honestly, consistency is really the biggest thing. I don't have any special gifts, or not even that smart, but I wake up every single morning at 5:30. Sometimes I sleep until like 5:45.
I hear you, man. So you're disciplined and you're consistent.
Yeah, if I were to attribute it to something, it would probably be that.
Gotcha. So my best guess is you're an avid reader, probably. What book have you gifted more than any other book to other people?
Oh, man. I should be gifting more books. There is a really good book by Ryan Holiday, and I've read a lot of his stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with Ryan Holiday, but he basically distills wisdom of other people, right? So kind of similar to Robert Greene. There's a book called Ego is the Enemy, and it's a great book. I've probably given that to a number of people. It's just a good kind of philosophy book. There is a business book that I've given to a lot of people that I read years and years ago, and it's called The One Thing. It's by Gary Keller, the guy that started Keller Williams.
One of my favorite.
Love that book. I've given that to a number of people as well, because it's just really great at helping you focus.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to what you said at the beginning of the interview. One of the biggest pieces of advice you give to a new real estate investor is focus on one thing. It's exactly what you said. Don't try to be all over the board on wholesaling here and rehabbing there and a rental portfolio over here. Start on that one thing, right?
Absolutely. So yeah, those are a couple of examples.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Folks, we got Daniel here that is just got an amazing experience. Lots of experience that he's able to share with folks. And Daniel, one more time, let's let everybody know about the free software that people can take advantage of and what it does for them and how to get it.
Sure. So go to Rehab Valuator. It's Rehab Valuator. I should know how to spell the name of my own product. But Rehab Valuator is essentially a deal analysis, deal marketing, fundraising, and project management software. And as you said, Jay, even though it's called Rehab Valuator, wholesalers use it. House flippers use it. Brokers use it. Ground up developers use it. I use it in my own business to figure out feasibility of multifamily construction projects. I actually just got out of a meeting yesterday with a couple of bankers where we were looking at the software to model a $21 million loan for a $27 million project that I'm doing. So I mean, so you can use the software for anything from single family to 100 plus million dollar projects, but it does deal analysis for you. That's the free version. There is a premium version. It's very reasonably priced, but it can generate wholesale marketing materials for your deals. So you can sell deals quickly. Private money presentations. You know, if I were to look at where our biggest customer testimonials and success comes from, it's probably from the private money presentations. You can punch in a few numbers and it creates a very professional package that you can put in front of your lenders. And not just private money. We have clients sending this to their hard money lenders. And also, again, I use it to raise money from banks, tens and tens of millions of dollars. And then there's a project management suite that gives you cost templates. You can build budgets. You can build project schedules. There's in-app accounting for your projects, full-scale reporting. So it does a lot, but you know, if you need a little, you can do a little. If you're an advanced investor, then there's a lot there that can help you as well.
That's awesome. Daniel, thank you so much for this gift that you are offering up here to our listeners. And thank you so much for joining me here on the Private Money Academy podcast.
My pleasure. I appreciate you having me. It's, you know, I've known you for a long time and, you know, I appreciate all the support over the years and appreciate how much you're doing for the real estate community as well.
Absolutely. There you have it, folks. Another episode of the Private Money Academy podcast. I'm Jay Connor, also known as the Private Money Authority. And here is to taking your real estate investing business to the next level. Look forward to seeing you right here on the next Private Money Academy podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure and ring that bell so you get notified of every time we go live. And we really appreciate those 5-star reviews. Subscribe, rate, and review. We really appreciate your feedback. So we'll see you all right here on the next Private Money Academy podcast. We really appreciate-